Hefner shook his head and turned to making the drinks. Hefner began. The fellow who built this place, I bought it from his grandson, was German. Nothing much is known about him before he came here. And I have inquired, and have had friends inquire. There is no record of a Heinrich Schmidt having ever lived in Dresden, which is where his Argentine document of national identity says he was born. Of course, the records may have been destroyed when Dresden was firebombed. What's interesting is that there is no record of his having immigrated to Argentina, or having been issued a DNI, or of Herr Schmidt becoming an Argentine citizen. What I did learn was he bought this place. It was then 416 hectares of forest land, and began construction of the house 2 months after it was alleged that a German submarine laden with cash and jewelry and gold had discharged its cargo near Mar del Plata and then scuttled itself at sea. Hefner handed Charlie a glass, held his own up, and tapped rims. To friends you can really trust, friend Charlie. Amen, brother. May their tribe increase. Unlikely, but a nice thought, Hefner replied, took a sip, then went on. Such a submarine was found 18 months ago off Mar del Plata, incidentally. Probably just a coincidence. I know that story. There were three of them loaded with loot. One was known to have been sunk in the English Channel. The second is known to have made it here. I thought the third one just disappeared. It did. But, from what I have learned, only after it unloaded its cargo here in Argentina. Anyway, Herr Schmidt lived very quietly. One might say, secretly, here with his family, a wife, a daughter, and a son, until his wife died. Then he passed on. Under Argentine law, property passes equally to children. The son, no one seems to know where he got the cash, bought out his sister's share, and she went to live in Buenos Aires, where she met and married an American and subsequently moved to the United States. The son married an Argentine, and aside from shopping trips to Buenos Aires and Santiago, Chile, never to Europe, which I found interesting, lived here with his wife and their only son, the fellow from whom I bought the place, much as his father had done. I understand that the father, and later the son, were silent partners in a number of business enterprises here. When the son passed on, the widow did not want to live here alone, so she moved to Buenos Aires. The property sat unused for some years until, at her death, it was finally put on the market and I bought it. Interestingly, they reduced the asking price considerably on condition I pay cash, more specifically, in gold, and that payment take place in the United Arab Emirates. What are you suggesting, Alec? That the guy who built this place was a Nazi? I'm suggesting nothing, friend Charlie. But I, too, noticed the architectural similarity to the reception hall at Karen Hall, and went to some lengths to check that out. Between you and me, friend Charlie, if Hermann Göring walked in the front door, he would think he was in Karen Hall. I wouldn't be surprised if Herr Schmidt used the same architect. For that matter, the same drawings. That led me to look into what business associates of Göring, not party members or people like that, had gone missing during and after the war. No luck in making a connection with Herr Schmidt. What you are suggesting is that some Nazi big shot did in fact get away with running off to here. That has happened, you know. Just a year or so ago, they found that the owner of a hotel here in Bariloche, a man named Pripke, had been an SS officer deeply involved in the massacre at the Ardentine Caves outside Rome. He was extradited to Italy, And actually, friend Charlie, there is an interesting legend that one of the founders of this area was an American from Texas who was here because the authorities were looking for him at home. Butch Cassidy? The Sundance Kid? Castillo asked sarcastically. Hefner shook his head. They were in Bolivia. I didn't know you were such a history buff, Alec. Hefner looked into Castillo's eyes for a long moment. What I am, friend Charlie, is a man who would like to build a future for his children that would be unconnected with their father's past. I am more than a little jealous of Herr Schmidt. Castillo looked at him but didn't reply. Jesus Christ, he's serious. Where's he going with this? You're a father, you will understand, Hefner went on. Actually, Alec, I'm having a hard time accepting that I am a father, but yeah, I understand. I think so, Castillo said. I never thought, I am a pragmatist, that I could do what Herr Schmidt did. These are different times. But I did think that I could perhaps do something like it. Did you see The Godfather? Now what? Castillo nodded. I thought I could do something like young Corleone wanted to do. Go completely legitimate. You remember that part? Castillo nodded again. I reasoned that if I gave up the more profitable aspects of my businesses, really gave them up, and maintained what you would call a low profile here. I get the picture, Castillo interrupted. Not quite, I don't think, friend Charlie. And I think it's important that you do. Go ahead. I have been using you since you came into my life. Sometimes successfully, sometimes at a price. You recall how we met, Herr Gossinger? On the Cobenzl in Vienna, Castillo said. I thought you had stolen an airplane. You came very close to dying that night, friend Charlie. When I heard that you wanted to interview me, I thought I would send a message to the press that looking into my affairs was not acceptable and was indeed very dangerous. I believe him, but why is he bringing that up now? But then Howard found out that you were really an American intelligence officer. Kennedy was very good at what he did. It's sad he turned out to be so weak and greedy. And you were using Carl Gossinger as a cover. I found that interesting, so I decided to meet you in person. And when you suggested that, I love this American phrase, we could scratch each other's back, I went along to see where that would go. Cutting to the chase, Castillo interrupted, I would never have found that 727 without you, and I made good on my promise. I got the CIA and the FBI off your back. So you did, proving yourself intelligent, capable, and a man of your word. I'm going to blush if you keep this up. You'll remember certainly that the Southern Cone, especially Argentina, never came up in Vienna. You found the 727 where I told you it would be, in Central America. Yeah, I remember. When that transaction between us was over, I thought it had gone extraordinarily well. You got what you wanted, and I got what I wanted, the CIA and the FBI to leave me alone, which was very important to me, as I was already establishing myself here and, being pragmatic, I knew that if they were still looking for me, they would have inevitably found me. And then I showed up here, Castillo said. Hefner nodded. Now that we both know who Howard Kennedy really was, Hefner went on, I don't think it is surprising that when you bumped into Howard in the elevator at the Four Seasons, his first reaction was to suggest to me that we had made a mistake in Vienna, and it was now obviously the time to rectify that omission. You mean whack me? He suggested we could have our Russian friends do it, so there would be no connection with me. My initial reaction was to go along. I naturally thought that you had turned on me and had come here to demand something of me. But again, I was curious and told Howard that that would wait until we learned what you wanted from me. So I told Howard to put a bag over your head and bring you out to my house in Buena Vista in Pilar. The bag offended you. I understood. So I told Howard to bring you anyway. You could be dealt with at Buena Vista. While I was waiting for you, I realized that I was really sorry I had misjudged you and regretted that I would have to deal with the problem. The strange truth seemed to be that I liked you more than I knew I should. Giving me an Indian beauty mark in the center of my forehead with a small caliber, soft nose pistol bullet, that's how you were going to deal with the problem. If you try to kiss me, Alec, I'll kick your scrotum over the chandelier.
You are impossible, Pevsner said.
But lovable. Pevsner shook his head in disbelief.